Happy Sabbath, everyone. Well, look at the sunshine. Rained all night. Sunshine today. Got to point that out. I kept saying, boy, it's going to be a horrible day tomorrow. Got up about 6 o'clock and it's still raining. And I said, well, it's going to be a cloudy day. And then it quit. And I said, we got a chance. I hope you all had a good week. It's definitely been an exciting week. In a lot of ways, when you hear what's going on in the world, I mean, it's getting scary what's going to happen to the United States. But anyhow, you and I don't have to worry. We're here where we're supposed to be. We're here where God wants you and I to be, and we've been called to be a part of His family. And how blessed we are. It looks like we've got a nice crowd today. We have it's always a good day when we're here with each other and when we're obeying God. And sometimes we take for granted. Many times I've mentioned it because I start thinking as you get older, I guess you think deeper or think back and see what you should have been thankful for, didn't realize you should have been thankful for. But we really need to be thankful. Thankful that we have a nice hall to meet in. You know, we've been here for almost 22 years. Same hall. Except for the time where we was down in Franklin. But we was in our 20th year when right after we was getting ready to celebrate our 20th year. We just finished when the pandemic broke out. In fact, they're going to have a party for us. But anyhow, I'll get back on subject. Satan the devil is our enemy. Satan the devil wants you to fail. He wants you and I to fail. Because you see, he failed. And he doesn't want anybody to be able to be with God and realize the happiness and joy that we will have. The calling we have is, you got to think how blessed we are, because many people we've known. You realize back in when I was in a church years ago, we had 800 people in Dayton. 800 people. Look what's left. You know, you hear the parable about the bridesmaids, right? It's only 50% gone. We have probably lost 80 to 90%. But you're still here. You're still here, and I'm still here, and aren't we glad? Because God has directed you and I. We came through all the troubles. We have come through the big breakup back in 2000. I guess it wasn't 2000, 2005. 1995, I'm sorry. 1995. I didn't write it down. Shouldn't use my head anymore. I'm acting like our president. I'm okay. I'm old. You got to forgive me. You got to forgive me. And I know what I'm saying. That's what he said. He knew. But in 1995, that was one huge thing. I should have remembered that because that's on my 25th anniversary. But, you know, we had people we knew and we loved and people you thought for sure were, they're in the church. Well, they're there. We know that they're strong. And all of a sudden you saw your friend going here and your friend going here. And they said, oh, no, this is a lot better. And you're going like a lot better. But see, you and I understood. That's because you studied your Bible. You have proved everything. Some people quit proving stuff. We have to keep reading. We have to keep studying, because any time we do not do what God wants, it's a crack in our armor. And let me tell you, Satan will try to get through that armor, because he knows if he can put the crack, he might make it go wider, and all of a sudden you become someone who doesn't know anymore. And it just has to sound good. See, a lot of people said, oh, it sounds good because I can go back to work now. I can work on Saturday. I had a friend of mine say that. I said, you haven't done that for 20 years. Yeah, but look at all the money I lost. The man had been blessed so many times. He had done well. He had a good family. He had a good income. But that's a reason to leave. It says in Matthew, you have to choose God or mammon. A lot of people, if we don't stay close to God, we'll choose mammon. Today, basically the sermon title will be, Be Aware, Watch. And the other part is, stay close to God. We have to beware and watch that enemy I just talked about, Satan the devil. Satan is your enemy, and he is God's enemy. Let's turn with me back to 1 Peter 5, verse 8, if you will. I know you've read it many times. Let's go back to verse 5 on it, though. It says, likewise, you young people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He not only cares, he created you. He created us. He really cares for us. Just as when we have children, grandchildren, how much does that little person mean to you? Wow. I had three of them over yesterday. I thought I was going to die. No, I'm kidding. They left me alone with them. That's not good. Usually my wife's there. My wife flew out to Colorado. I got a granddaughter that's graduating from college in May, and a week later she's getting married. So by the way, Ron, I won't be here from the end of May till the end of June. From there, I got to go out to Seattle, Washington, and see another grandson graduate. It's about 3 weeks apart, so we decided just take a trip across the country. But you know, Satan wants you and I to fail so bad, because then he feels he's a winner. And you know, that's what losers are. Losers are wanting people to be just like them, because then they feel winners. I'm not by myself. You know, look what I did. They're right there doing it too. You know, that's what we have to understand. You see the kids today, with all these gadgets they have to get together, and all these suicides. Everybody likes to be liked. Everybody wants to do good. Everybody wants to be a crowd of that group right over there. They're such a good crowd, boy, but they don't like me. Why don't they like me? What did I do? And then they get on the internet and hear all these things they're saying about them. And it's not good. And then all of a sudden somebody kills himself. A young person kills himself because they don't feel a part of or liked. This world we live in, I'm glad I didn't come up in it as far as a young person. They got a lot harder world to come up in than we did. We may not have had as much stuff as they had. And they have a lot of quote stuff. But stuff doesn't make you what you are. You are what you make yourself. But if you're involved with stuff, you will get caught up in stuff, and you'll get caught up in what's going on. Because they become your God. That little phone that has everything on it you want, it can either help you, or it can be the biggest detriment anybody ever had. Because anybody can put anything on there at this point and get away with it. And it's known by hundreds, maybe thousands. Can you imagine that when you were a kid? We who are older, it takes a while to get back that far because we was always outside playing with a group, and you always had a group you could play with. And you were friends, and you had your problems once in a while, but you were able to get along, you know. Today, they don't have anybody to talk to because it's all on this. We found out during the pandemic, kids are behind 2 and 3 years in reading and different things, all because they didn't have school. So they're behind. People need people. When you were out during the pandemic, how many of you liked it when you wore a mask and all you saw was people with a mask? Did you know what they looked like? You knew their eyes, but you knew nothing else about them. When you don't have open contact with people and get to talk back and forth, you're missing a whole lot. That's why God has called you and I to be a family. And you and I have truly been blessed. Turn with me to Matthew 24, if you would. Matthew 24, verse 36. No one knows the day or hour that God is coming. But on that day and hour, no one knows, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. You see the world we're in today? They're coming and going, and they'll be told what to do, when to do, and how to do it. They got set up for the pandemic. Pandemic got so the boy, if they said, you have to do it, they took away free will. That's what they did to the kids. They got them so that they lost 2 or 3 years of time of schooling. Can you catch up 2 or 3 years behind? It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard if they even do it. And it says, and did not know until the flood came and took them away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's just hard to believe. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other will be left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, not allowed his house to be broken into. You and I have to be on the watch. Watch of what Satan tries to do to you and me. He will use every gimmick, everything he can figure out to try and get you to quit loving God. We have to look at God's commandments. I remember we used to have a plaque in my doorway when we went out, God's commandments, every day. And you know, that's what the Israelites did. They did the same thing. That way when you left, you never forgot who was out there and who's in charge. You never forget who gave you everything that you have. You realize what? You're to love him with all your heart. You're not to have any other gods. Not to use his name in vain. You keep his holy days. And the holy day is Sabbath and the annual holy days. And you and I know that because we're here today. God has called you and I to be here. We have answered the call these many years because I got a lot of you in here, friends of mine, and we've been here for a long time. 40 to 50 years. And you know what? We're still learning. But guess what? We're also still a target of Satan's. Satan says, I'll find it. He had this weakness one time before. I'll come back at her. She had this. I'll come back at him again, or her again. Because you see, he knows what we did. He knew what we were before we were called by God. You and I have changed more than you and I realize. We just sort of take it for granted. And guess what? Because of what we have become and what we do and how we change, people do notice. I remember my neighbor years ago told me, he said, you get dressed up every Saturday and leave. How come? You know, I have my family and we go out the car. I said, well, we go to church. He said, you go to church on Saturday? I said, yeah. He says, huh, that's different. That's basically it. He's a good Catholic. Good guy. We got along fine. You know? But he noticed it. See, he noticed. Your neighbors notice what you do. They know exactly what you do. In a lot of ways. Not everything, but I'm talking about things that set you apart from what they do. Because if you got people who are religious, they go on Sunday. So they're trying to figure out, well, why doesn't he go on Sunday like I do? Or why doesn't she go on Sunday like I do? That's the day to go. You know, you and I know better. Why? Because God called you, each and every one of us in here. And we answered the calling. And we have to keep answering that calling every day. It isn't, oh yeah, I've done this, now I don't have to worry. It's not that way. It's a lifelong calling. And a lifelong calling physically will be a lifelong time in God's kingdom if we finish the race. There will be no end then. This is only a short period. Sometimes it seems like it's a hard period. And we all have our trials. But let's read 45 and 50. It says, faithful servant and the evil servant. It says, who then is faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant who is his master when he comes will find him doing. When he comes, we have to still be doing. We can never stop doing. We have to look at ourselves, take it on what God's laws are, and what God tells us in his Bible, and we have to always keep doing and making sure we haven't forgot something that God's word will tell us we should be doing or we should look after. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master's delaying his coming. Oh, hey, I don't have to worry about him. He's not around. I can do what I want. And begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on one day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint his portions with the hypocrites, that they shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You and I want to watch. You and I need to always be aware. Not get comfy, as you call it. You know, get real comfortable. We have to always be learning and growing. Because we want to be one of the faithful. We want to be one of the wise. We want to be there when Jesus Christ returns. And be a part of that family. And also be a part of putting down the evilness at that time. We'll get to have an opportunity for that. And then we get to what? Help others understand and see. And did you ever think maybe, this is just a possibility, I have no idea. This is not doctrine, this is just Dave Hemsley saying something. Do you ever think that maybe in the millennium, if we're being servants there and we're made into God's kingdom, do you think we might meet somebody that we've known? Besides just your families. Sometimes that scares me because I'm going to see someone and I'm going to say, oh boy, I remember what I did. I remember what I said. But you know what? Then you can say, hey, look, I'm here. Let me show you how to get here. You will be able to give love towards that person just like you do anybody else, but because you've had some contact with them, that may be some of the people that you'd take care of. That's what I think. I don't know. It's just, he liked to sort of look out in front and say, well, what could possibly be when you get to millennium? You know? And why are all these planets out here? What's going to be gone? I have no idea. God doesn't do anything for nothing. God didn't make us to do nothing and die in 100 years. He told us he wanted to give us what? Eternal life. With him. And says, a better world is coming. I know we're all looking forward to that. In Romans 12:3, turn there with me if you will. You've read this many times and heard it many times, and it's true. Romans 12, 1 to 3. I'm sorry, I just said 3, didn't I? This is saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then in verse 2 he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say in verse 3, it says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We are so blessed with the calling you and I have had. We are so blessed. When we look around, when you see each other, what do? I smile. I'm with my family. I'm with the family I hope to be with for eternity. And many, many more. All of our friends in the other church areas. And we will be able to know everybody's name. And we'll be just like brothers when somebody comes from a different church and comes in here. What is it? We greet them and help them and say, hey, how you doing? Where you at? Where you from? What you doing? Da-da. We want to know everything about them. We want to make them feel welcome. Because everybody loves their brothers and sisters. Even though when you see kids, you wonder sometimes. Because they get kind of cranky. But you know, when they get older, it's amazing how you see them change. And they like to be together. And, oh yeah, let's go see my brother over here. Let's all go see such and such over here. I came from a single family. And parents divorced when I was young. So I didn't have that. I didn't understand that. Until I got married, I didn't understand what a real family was like. I had never had that. My wife has this wonderful family. love each other, care for each other. You know, and I'm sitting there going like, now, I hate to admit this. You're going to laugh. And when you get old, you just say anything, so I figure out. Anyhow, when I married my wife, she was the greatest thing I ever had. That was mine, right? No, it wasn't. Her family is a big part of hers. You know? So one time, her and her sister are like two peas in a pod, okay? They're so much two peas in a pod. I asked her one time, I said, I think sometimes you may love your sister more than me. She looked at me and she didn't understand that. Say, no, I don't. But I love my sister and I love being with her. See, I didn't have any siblings or anything like that. I didn't understand that. It was always out to protect myself. Protect me. That's the only thing I cared about, was protecting me, because I was fighting the world. So see, God gave me a family. My wife and their family, and then God's family. And like I gave not too long ago about, look back and see when God called you. It was a lot longer than I would have expected, but in retrospect, you can look back and see things in your life that led you right to where you're at today. If you, picked up the ball and run, if you continue to move and forward to that, and then you can look back and say, boy, he was patient. Boy, he was kind. He was really merciful on that. Oh, man. Think about it. God has called you and I, not because you were the great and mighty, not because I was great and mighty. He calls because we what? We're the weak of the world. And he's showing the world what we can become through being a part of his family and growing in his understanding. And you and I are going to be kings and priests if we finish the job. That's our calling. Go down with me to in verse, let's see. I think I want to go, it's one I had in here. I wasn't going to use, but I'm going to use it. Go down to Romans 14. In verse 7, it says, for none of us lives to himself, no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. We are the Lord's. God has claimed us as long as we're obedient. And he has a plan for us. For to this end, Christ died and rose, both the dead and the living. That's you and me. He did that for the whole world, but the whole world hasn't been called or chosen. You and I have. And we have the opportunity to be here. Turn with me to John 14:15. Here's what Christ tells us. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. God doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to be with him forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That's the truth you and I have. We understand it. Because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. This verse meant a lot to me when I first came into church, because I was single then, so I still have my old thoughts and my way of life. I used to love to hear this during the Passover and stuff, getting ready for Passover. It says, I will not leave you orphans. In other words, that the word is also comfortless. I will come to you. Do you realize what he's saying there? I'm going to take care of you. I love you. I have a place for you. And it's going to be for eternity. We'll go back to first same chapter 14. Go back to verse 1. The headline has above mine says, the way, the truth, and the life. Here's what he tells you and me. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ, saying this. And where I am, there you may be also. And that's where we want to be. That's where we want to end up. We want to claim that mansion or that place that Christ is building for those who will be with Him and the Father. We need to make sure that we are aware and that we are watching so that Satan cannot get a hold of us and take us away from the things that he's talking about. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about being kings and priests. We're talking about being with God and Jesus and all those who are part of God's family with them for eternity. And just as Christ died for us, that we could have this opportunity, what type of opportunity are we going to have once we get into God's family? What will our job be? It's going to be a job that you're completely suited for. It's going to be a job that you are to take care of. And we must get there so that we can have that job, have that wonderful, wonderful life that Christ and God want each of us to have in their family. You know, we look at the world around us. Since the pandemic, it's going to pot. It is going to pot. Literally both ways, I guess, because they're making narcotics and stuff. You know, you can get over nothing else and all this and that. But it's getting worse and worse, and it's not just a slow slope. It's going like this. It's going fast. Are we going to hit another, you know, level spot again? You know, like you do on mountains or on a hill sometime. It gets kind of, and then all of a sudden, whoa, you're down again. Are we living on the edge of a ocean where the waves can hit? Satan can throw something at you and you fall in instead of being safe. Are we playing on the edge? We can't play on the edge. We have to understand our calling. We have to understand what you and I have in the future and today. But in the future, we're with God and see, we can go anywhere we want to go probably. You and I are truly blessed. Never forget that when we have troubles, because we all have troubles. I had to break this up. I told Ron I broke this up. I had enough material for a sermon, two sermons. So I'm going to give it to you next time, the rest of it. But this is something that we need to keep in mind. The next time I give a sermon, I'm going to be going through some people in the Old Testament and what they went through. And we have to also realize we're going to have challenges and things. Because you need to realize life hasn't changed. Satan has tempted everybody. Satan wants you and I and everyone that's ever been born in this planet to die the death. And God wants every one of us to live for eternity. Don't get confused with physical things or anything else. Look at the big picture. The big picture is Satan's going, he's going to go down big time. God's people are what? They're going to be a part of God's kingdom. Going to be in the holy city. We'll be able to take fruit from the tree of life. No more pain. No more hurt. No more wondering if you're going to make it. Everybody, when they go through a trial, a deep trial, because many people have deep trials, whether it be sickness or whether it be anything else. Because many people have lost their jobs and everything else to keep God's Sabbath. And when you have a family and you have to say, no, I can't work on Saturday, they say, then don't show up on Monday. That's a choice you have to make. That's when you can't let the physical overcome what God has given you spiritual. God says, I will take care of you. May not be the way you like sometimes. We may have to suffer some. But in the end, we have built character. And we have showed God that we're willing to keep Him number one. Every time we have a trial, Satan is trying to get us to get away from number one, God the Father. Because if he can get us to look away from God, oh, I have a chance. He looked and going, oh, I shouldn't do that. Have you ever done that? Well, I have. You know, we have to realize we are human. We are weak. Without God's Spirit in us and without us using God's Spirit and obeying, we will fall. That's why I say we must be aware. We need to wake up. Things are happening. Things are always happening. But as we read earlier, come in a time when people aren't looking if you aren't paying attention and staying close to God. If you think, oh, he's asleep for a while, I can go do what with these other friends out here or whatever who aren't in the church. You know, and we all have friends outside of church but don't have much contact with them, but I have people who are friends. You know, kept relationships. I kept relationships with a lot of people who left the church and went somewhere else, and some just quit all churches altogether. We have conversations and we go, and of course they bring up something every once in a while about religion and they say, well, I know you don't believe this. And I say, well, as long as you understand, you know. And I'll say something back to him and say, well, you know, I don't. I said, that's your problem, not mine. And you're going to have to do that. I know we all have. We've had to if we've been around very long. You have to make the decisions, and the decision has to be number one as God the Father. First Peter, I'll get winding up here. I see I went longer than I should have probably. Anyhow, 1 Peter 2:9. Turn there if you will. Here's what we're being told. It's what I've been talking about. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I was reading about can't think of his name, Moses' thing, and I read, you know, I've read it before and read it real quickly, but not too long ago I was reading it where I read, I think it's in our Bible reading, of course, isn't it, where it's talking about what he wears and all that, what the priest wore, the high priest, and how important it was. Well, you know, we're going to be a royal priesthood and a holy nation of the living God. That's what he was telling these people. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. We weren't a people one time. He's not talking about us. He's talking about the Israelites. But it's the same with us. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Every one of us have retained mercy when Jesus Christ died. Because he died for our sins. And without him giving his life for us, I'd have been dead a long, long time ago. And it wouldn't have been for a good thing when I woke up. We need to keep that on mind, how much God loves you and me. And how much we need to be doing exactly what he says. Jesus Christ is said to be the light. Christ tells us to be the light. In Matthew 5:14-16. I won't go there. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you if we do them. You realize that's one of the first words that come out of Christ when he started his preaching. It was in the 5th chapter. And what he went through before was character things. Then he talked about the salt. And we do not want to lose our flavor. That's why we must be aware. And that's why we must watch. And make sure that we do not let Satan take us away from the holy kingdom that God is going to give to each of us. And that mansion that Christ is preparing. I'll end here with Revelation 21:22-27. Called the glory of the New Jerusalem. That's going to be our home. We finish the race. We stay awake. We watch. Be careful. Repent. Change and continue to grow. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must come shortly. I'm the wrong one. I went on the other side. Sorry about that. I had it. Verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. This is in the holy city. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it. Now you realize how big the holy city is, right? over 1,300 some square miles and high. You talk about a view. And the Lamb is its light, which is Jesus Christ. And the nation of those who are saved shall walk in its light. It's going to be us. That's our calling. That's for us to be there. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it and to it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where you and I want to be. So when we get in that beautiful city, we know that we have been true to our God. Christ has intervened for us many times, suffered for you and I, and you know, he was glad to do it because he wanted to do his Father's will. And he did. Let's pray. Let's watch. Let's make sure that we do our part. Don't give up now. Don't take your eyes off the goal. When you came in, when I came in, I was so excited to have God open my mind to understand these things, and you couldn't understand why other people couldn't understand it. It seems so plain. Keep it plain so that we see it and understand it, and we do it. Because God wants us to be in His holy city with Him.